Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, The Churning of the Milk Ocean, text 16. Bhushanani Vichitrani Vishvakarma Prajapatihi Haram Saraswati Padmam Ajunagascha Kundale Bhushanani Vichitrani Vishvakarma Prajapatihi Haram Saraswati Padmam Ajunagascha Kundale. Vaishnavis, Bhushanani, varieties of ornaments. Vichitrani, all very nicely decorated. Vishvakarma Prajapati. Vishvakarma, one of the Prajapatis. The sons of Lord Brahma, who generate progeny. Haram, garland or necklace. Saraswati, the goddess of education. Padmam, a lotus flower. Aja, Lord Brahma. Nagacha, the inhabitants of Nagaloka. Kundale, two earrings. Translation. Vishvakarma, one of the Prajapatis, supplied varieties of decorated ornaments. The goddess of learning, Saraswati, supplied a necklace. Lord Brahma supplied the lotus flower. And the inhabitants of Nagaloka supplied earrings. Text 17. Tatakrita swastyaya yanotpala srajam nadadvire pamparigrihya panina chachala vaktram sukapola kundalam sabridak hasam dadati shushobhanam. Thereafter, Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, having been properly celebrated with an auspicious ritualistic ceremony, began moving about, holding in her hand a garland of lotus flowers, which were surrounded by humming bumblebees. Smiling with shyness, her cheeks decorated by her earrings, she looked extremely beautiful. Purport. The goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmiji, accepted the ocean of milk as her father, but she perpetually rests on the bosom of Narayana. She offered benedictions even to Lord Brahma and other living entities in this material world. Yet she is transcendental to all material qualities. Although she appeared to have been born of the ocean of milk, she immediately resorted to her eternal place on the bosom of Narayana. So, this is the pastime of the churning of the milk ocean, and in this particular verses speak about the appearance of Lakshmiji from the milk ocean and how she got the different gifts from different demigods. And here in this verse 17 it is said that she had a garland of lotus flower in her hand. The question is, what for? Because that was actually, after all the ceremony, it was actually Swayamvara. She was going to choose her husband. So whoever she chooses, she will garland him with a lotus garland. So she was looking at all the demigods. She always finds something was it not fully perfect. Something may be missing. They have this good wise qualities, but something is missing here, something is missing there. Until she finally met the Supreme Lord, Vishnu or Narayan, and she found him perfect in every way. So she ran and garlanded him, and then the marriage ceremony was performed. She is the eternal consort of the Lord. That's the Leela, the pastimes of the Lord. But once, Narad Muni was describing to Lakshmi Narayan the Rasa Leela pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. And when Lakshmiji heard about that, she became very attracted to take part in that Rasa Leela. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in South India, he stayed at the house of Venkatavata, and he asked him this question: why you are a devotee of Lakshmi Narayan, I'm a devotee of Krishna. Why your Lakshmiji wanted to dance with my Lord Krishna? Is she not being unfaithful to her husband, Narayana? Ah, Lord Chaitanya was joking with the Brahmana. And the Brahmana also, you know, smiled and said, well, according to Shastra, there is no difference between my Narayana and your Krishna. They are one and the same. But your Krishna is more cunning and naughty, and he likes to more sweet pastimes. So out of curiosity, my Lakshmiji wanted to take part. There is no unchastity on her side to have such a desire. Lord Chaitanya agreed. Say, yes, you're 100% correct. But why she could not achieve her desire? She could not take part in the rasa dance. So, Venkatabhata said, that's beyond my understanding. I can't go that deep in the pastimes of the Lord. You are the Supreme Lord. You please explain it to me. So, Lakshmiji, she first tried to enter Rasa Lila, but she was stopped by the gopis. No, you can't just come like that. Like once Lord Shiva wanted also to do that, but he was held by Purnamasi, the Yoga Maya. Take it deep in this lake, and you can't go on this body. You have to get to the gopi body. Hide between the bushes, and then you can see from there. And with the gopi body, Lord Shiva was looking, but Krishna stopped the Rasa Lila. He said, I'm not feeling the same ecstasy. Maybe somebody who should not be here hiding. Go gopis, find him. So the gopis found Lord Shiva as a gopi, and they may start to interrogate. Who are you? What's your name? What is the name of your husband? From which village are you? So of course Lord Shiva couldn't answer any of those questions. So they were slapping him. Maybe you're a spy sent by Kamsa. Speak. So Krishna came, Purnamasi came, they stopped the gopi. No, please. Purnamasi says, he's under my protection and he's Mahadev. So Krishna said, okay, you can stand at the door to guard the entrance of Rasa Lila. From there you can see. Anybody who's not qualified, you stop them. So anyway, Lakshmiji also wanted to do the same thing, but she also was stopped by the gopis. So she decided to stay in Bilbavan, the other side of the Yamuna, to do austerity penances, to be able to enter the Rasa Lila. So Radharani asked Krishna, please make a well nearby so she will not go thirsty, you know. So still a well there. Anyway, she, after a long time of austerities and penances, the Vedas personified, they felt attracted by those pastimes of the Lord, and they became gopis in their next life. Also, the sages of Nanda Karanya, yes, they asked blessing from Lord Ramchandra to become gopis next life, and they achieved their desire. Why Goddess Lakshmiji could not get her desire fulfilled? Because she wanted to retain her opulence as the goddess of fortune. She had to adopt the mentality of the gopis, you know, to be able to do it. Otherwise, but still, Krishna told her the reason she was still attached to her opulence and position as such. But she prayed to Krishna, allow me to see the Rasa Lila dance as a golden lion in your chest. And Krishna agreed. So see, she's there in his chest as a golden lion. So, of course, these pastimes are very deep, very profound, but give us an insight about how high is Krishna Lila and Vrindavan is, you know, even even Lakshmi could not approach, you know. What to speak of us, all conditioned soul, you know, we have to get a lot of purification, get free from all the, you know, bad association, bad karmas, get purified 100% before we can aspire to have such desire, you know. Mm-hmm. So, karma is very powerful thing, but Brahma Samhita said, karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhajam. Only through loving service to the Lord that all karmas can be burned away. There is no other way to do that. Mm-hmm. In relation to karma, I will tell you one story I heard in my childhood from my grandmother. A true story about how karma works. Mm-hmm. Of course, she didn't know about karma, but the story is very, very, it's a real story. So anyway, there was one immigrant from Spain who went to South America, Venezuela. That's what was at the beginning of the 20th century. With the idea to make fortune, to make money. So he was selling milk, no? He had cows and he was selling milk. But in order to make money faster, he started to add water to the milk. First 5%, then 10%, like that. Last year in Mayapur, I saw a milkman in Mayapur, and I asked him, "Are you putting water to the milk?" He said, no, I swear on Bhagavad Gita, I'm not putting water to the milk. I'm putting milk into the water." Anyway, but this man took a lot of risk. His name was Pedro. Because at that time, the government was dictatorship. And if they caught him doing that, he will not only pay heavy fine, but go to jail even. But he took the risk to make money faster. So in a few years, he made a big fortune, great fortune. Became very rich. He had a big dairy, you know, factory all over the country. He became a very rich man. So after a few years, he decided to go back to his country to enjoy his new riches. And he went back by boat, big boat, passenger's boat, first-class cabin. And all his money was in a big chest full of golden coins. Mm-hmm. Now those golden coins are in the museum. In my childhood in Venezuela, we used the silver coin, daily currency. But then, what happened is that the government discovered that people were melting the silver and selling it because it cost more than the currency itself. So they decided to withdraw all the silver from the market. Anyway, when Prabhupada visited South America, Venezuela, in the morning walk, he said, "Where is the opulence? Only paper and plastic. Paper and plastic." He told us a story about Mount Sumeru, that the peak of Mount Sumeru is made of pure gold. And at the top of that mountain grows mango trees. So when the mangoes become ripe, each mango is the size of an elephant, Prabhupada said. So when the mango become ripe and fall from the top of the mountain, they form a Jambunada, a mango river. And the demigods with their consorts, they come and airplanes, and they collect, because the sun and the wind dries the shores of that river and they become transformed into gold. So they make ornaments with that gold. Prabhupada said, "Where is opulence? Only paper and plastic here." So anyway, this man, he was making plan in his trip back to Tenerife, that's an island, the Canary Island in Spain. He was making plans. "Oh, I will reach there, I will buy a big palatial building, the newest car, I will find the most beautiful girl to marry her." He was making so many plans. But as the saying goes, man proposes, God disposes. In the middle of the tree, there was a huge, big storm. It appeared that the boat was going to sink in the ocean. It was such a heavy storm. So the captain, very afraid, he asked the sailor to throw away into the water all heavy things, you know. So they were going cabin through cabin, throwing things. So they came to Pedro's cabin. Oh, this chest is very heavy. We are going to throw you. No, I give you money. I have a lot of riches there. What the use of money? We're going to die here. And they throw it in the ocean. This poor Pedro almost jumped behind it. And he was crying, lamenting like anything. And finally, he calmed down. And he spoke to his money, to his gold. He said, "With water I made you, in water you left me." A true story. He understood that I made you with water, I add water to the milk. Now you left me in water. So karma is very powerful. Prabhupada told us in one morning at the temple garden there that even if you walk, you step on an ant, that will be written. This man killed an ant. He has to pay reaction for it. Even if he didn't know, still reaction must be there. But of course, he said, if you work for Krishna's service, that will be taken into consideration. So how careful we should be, you know. At least when we walk with an ant, we should avoid stepping on it. So, anyway, Mother Lakshmiji, of course, all the Lakshmis are expansions of the gopis, and the Krishna's wives in Dwarka also are expansions of the gopis. So, it's very difficult for people to understand this pastime of the Lord, of dancing with the gopis, because sometimes they take it as a moral, you know. Some years ago in Poland, one nun, she took the movement to court, because she was saying that we worship an immoral God. So one devotee was a lawyer and he came to defend Krishna. So he asked the nun, "Can you please recite the vows you made when you became a nun?" She said, "No, I'm not willing to." So the devotee said, he asked the judge, "Can I read them?" She said, "Okay, go ahead, read them." So one of the vows that the nuns make when they take their vows, that we accept Lord Jesus Christ as our husband. So the devotee told the judge, "So who has more wives, Krishna or Christ?" And the judge said, "Case dismissed." So even here, even Prabhupada was, some devotees asked him, we went to preach in the university, and some professors said that Krishna is immoral because he's dancing with the wives of other men. That's very immoral, you know. So Prabhupada told the devotees, tell this professor that Krishna is Jagannath, is the Lord of all universe. He created the whole universe. That means all the women in the universe belongs to him. If you have a woman, you are stealing a woman from Krishna. You are immoral, not Krishna. Krishna is allowing you. Okay, you can have one wife. That's okay. But actually, all belongs to Krishna. Everything belongs to Krishna. So why Lakshmiji became attracted to Krishna? I mean, Narayan also has very wonderful qualities. He's also very beautiful, but not as beautiful as Krishna. I mean, if we study Krishna's qualities in comparison to other of his avatars or expansions. According to Nectar of Devotion, Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities. We living entities, when we are free, we are liberated, we have 50 of those qualities up to 78%. Lord Shiva, Mahadev, he has 55 of those qualities, 84%. And Lord Narayana of Vaikuntha, he has 60 of those qualities, 93%. So only Krishna has four qualities that none other, even Narayana or any other incarnation has. And what are those four qualities that are exclusive to Krishna? Is Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Lila Madhurya, and Prema Madhurya. Meaning, Krishna's sweet flute, when he played the flute, all the universe become enchanted by that. So that's exclusive to Krishna. No other avatar has this. And Krishna's beautiful form, Krishna's form is so beautiful that he himself is attracted to it. Once in Dwarka, Krishna saw his reflection on a pillar and he asked the question, who is this beautiful boy? I wish to be Radharani to embrace him like her. So Krishna's form is very, very enchanting. Alola Chandra Krasadvana Malya Bamshirat Nagadam Pranayakeli Kalavilasam Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitanyata Prakasham Govinda Madhe Purisham Tamaham Bhajami. So Krishna's form is called Tribhanga, means curved in three places. So that means when he entered the heart of a devotee, he becomes stuck there, he doesn't come out. Narayan's form, he stops straight. He goes in and comes out. But Krishna is Tribhanga. Curve in three places. He enters, he gets stuck, he doesn't come out. Krishna's Leela, his pastimes, especially the Ras Leela and his childhood pastime, are so sweet and enchanting. They attract the three worlds. So, and Prema Madhurya means the gopis, who is surrounded by such loving devotees as the gopis. Their love can't be compared to anyone else in the spiritual or the material world. And the gopis renounced everything. They risk everything for Krishna's happiness, even their own happiness. Once Narada Muni went to visit Krishna in Dwarka, and Krishna was holding his head with his hand, and Krishna, Narada asked, my lord, is anything worrying you? Can I do some service? Krishna said, well, I have a headache. And Narada Muni, of course, he knows Krishna doesn't have a material body, he can't have a headache, but he understood Krishna wanted to show some pastime. So he followed, oh Krishna, what can I do to free you from your headache? And Krishna said, only if you bring me the dust from my pure devotee's feet and I smell it on my head, that's the only thing that can cure my headache. So immediately Narada went to the inhabitants of Dwarka, asking them, please give me the dust of your feet. And of course, are you mad? He's Paramatma, he's the Lord. If we do that, we go to hell. That's a big offense. We can't do that. So he went to Vrindavan, immediately the gopis surrounded him, asking about Krishna's well-being. And Krishna Narada told them about, you know, Krishna's headache. Immediately they start to collect all the dust from their feet and gave it to Narada. Narada was shocked. He said, do you know the reaction for you to do that? They say, yes, we know. Eternal hell. You don't care? No. If that will make Krishna happy, we will be happy even in hell. that surrounded, that much love Gopis have for Krishna. Of course, we have the saying, heaven without Krishna is hell, and hell with Krishna is heaven. Sometimes what you have to serve in a very difficult situation, but if we are Krishna conscious, then we feel happiness in the midst of the greatest impediments. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, while praying to Krishna, he said, "My dear Lord, the difficulties and problems I have to face in your service are a source of great happiness to me." Why? Because trying to please Krishna in a difficult situation, sacrifice, do some little sacrifice, that's the source of happiness of devotees, to be given that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So, and I've seen on this festival we just had, Ratha Yatra, how devotees were, doing so many austerities to please Lord Jagannath. It's very difficult to manage all, such big festival, and just out of compassion, to give people the opportunity to get Lord Jagannath mercy. One man approached me at the Ratha Yatra. He said, "This first time I'm coming to this festival. Can you please explain to me what are these black, yellow, and white figures are there? What are this?" So I told him, "The black figure is Jagannath, is the Lord of Universe, Krishna. The white one is his brother Balaram, and in the middle is his sister Subhadra." And he looked at me smiling and said, "Well, I can see they are related." I mean, come on. Are they from the same parents? So I told him, Krishna, God is appearing in this way just to show you that He loves everyone. Doesn't matter if you are black, white, yellow, red, whatever. He loves all His children, all His creation. And that's why He comes once a year to give blessing to everyone. Doesn't matter your race or caste or religion. Doesn't matter. He comes and bless everyone. He said, "Oh, that's very nice. Thank you." And he bought some books and wanted to come to visit the temple. So it's not easy for people to understand, We are actually a little weird, no? I mean, we have to accept that. Prabhupada said, unless you are a little crazy, you can't become devotee. So, anyway. So, thank you for the opportunity to speak some little Krishna Katha. And if you have any comment or question, please do. Yes. There's a mic around? Okay.
You mentioned that about Lakshmi.
Yes.
So she wanted to aspire to enter Vrindavan. So this question is...
No, she entered Vrindavan.
Okay, she aspired to enter and she was able to go in. So in relation to that, I want to ask a question in behalf of the Matajis here.
Yes.
Is it okay to aspire to become Lakshmi, the eternal consort?
No. Nobody can take the position of Lakshmi. It's like somebody want to become Radharani. That's impersonalism. That's an offense. Or become Nanda Maharaj or Mother Yashoda. That's impersonalism. We can follow in their footsteps. I mean, unless we follow in the footsteps of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, we can't enter Vrindavan. We have to follow their footsteps. That is the teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Either in Sakya or Dasya or Vatsalya or Madhurya, we have to follow the mood, the humor, the service attitude of the inhabitants of Vrindavan in order to be able to Of course, if we worship Lakshmi Narayan, we can go to Vaikuntha and serve Lakshmi Narayan there. If we worship Ramchandra, we will go to Ayodhya. If we worship Krishna with awe and reverence, we can go to Dwarka. But if we worship Krishna in the mood of the inhabitants of Vrindavan, then we can go to Goloka Vrindavan. But we don't go directly there. Even when devotees achieve perfection and get Krishna Prema, they have to be born in another universe in Bauma Vrindavan, where Krishna is performing his pastime, and be born from the womb of a gopi in any particular rasa to associate with the eternal associate of Krishna, to be trained how to love Krishna and serve Krishna spontaneously. Yes, Archita Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a very nice presentation. A question about the Pedro story. Did you say that the coins are in a museum, so they actually found them from the ocean?
No. I mean, the chest is at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, okay.
But that coin, I mean, it's called Morocotta. It's a big golden coin.
Uh-huh.
Now they are not currency anymore. At that time they were currency at the beginning of the 20th century. So they are now in museum, those coins.
But not Pedro's chest, okay.
Of course not. I mean, it's a true story. My grandmother told me that story. Okay, if you are adventurous, you can go and try to find them. Hare Krishna. Yes, any other question or comment? Yes.
I guess it was, thank you very much for a nice class, Maharaj. My question was about where we could go, you know, how we could go to Ayodhya if we worship Ramchandra, or if we worship Krishna with awe and reverence, we can go to Dwarka, and then if we worship, or if we have the mood of being a cowherd boy or a cowherd or girl,
yes,
we can go to Goloka. Well, what, like, if you come to the movement and you end up in Dwarka, like New Dwarka, you know, and you kind of worship him in awe and reverence, and that's just the only thing you know.
Do you think Dwarka's a small thing?
No.
I mean, come on, you know. We have to, sometimes we think, you know, we have no idea, you know. This is very, very high achievement. Vaikuntha is very high achievement. We have to first achieve Vaikuntha before aspiring to reach, you know, Dwarka or Vrindavan. That's beyond the top of our head, you know. We have to be humble and think. Lord Chaitanya was praying to Krishna, make me an Adam at your lotus feet. You know, he didn't pray, you know, I want to become gopi or something like that. I mean, we have to be careful with that, with not becoming sahajyas, you know, that think everything is in our grasp and in our hand, you know. So it's no question of asking if I'm going to this and that. First we have to become purified from kama, krodha, lobha, lust, greed, anger, envy, and illusion and fear and all this. Then we develop pure devotional service. Then we can, Prabhupada said, deserve first, as desire later. We have to become first qualified. Then we can think, am I going to here or there? I mean, yes, Krishna can fulfill all desires, but have to be a pure desire. You know? Yes. Here's the mic.
Thank you, Maharaj. Nice explanation. I would just add one little point to it, and that is that yes, we have to perfect ourselves in awe and reverence. That is essential. That is basic.
Yes.
But it is also known that all of us have an original ras with Krishna.
Yes.
There's an original ras, and when we become perfected in the basic awe and reverence, Krishna sees when it is the right time to awaken us to that original ras, which we will then find very very comfortable and harmonious, because it will be exactly the way Krishna originally conceived us to be in relation to him, to give him the kind of pleasure that he wished to have.
That's very nice, thank you. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita said, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. Eternally in every soul's heart, there is Krishna Prema. Pure love for Krishna. So when the covering, ignorance and passion are removed from the heart, and we are engaged in pure devotional service, internally we will be under, the Guru will reveal on our heart, he'll put us under the care, we will be attracted to one particular eternal associate of Krishna. That's what the Shastra and the Acharyas explain. And we follow the mood of that particular associate of Krishna, following in her or his footsteps. Internally, we are developing this attraction. So, you know, we have different scientific stages in our Krishna Bhakti, from Shraddha to Prema. So we have to go through all of this. Of course, we have to first firmly believe that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And a lot of reverence and, you know, respect and love for the Lord. But when the heart is free from material attachment, anartha nivritti, then it is possible to develop raga or spontaneous attraction for the association and the service of the Lord. So there is a gradual process to go through, and we follow it. I mean, that's our line. Gaudiya Vaishnavism is made for that purpose, to develop spontaneous attraction to the service of the Lord. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Hello. Thank you for your nice class. Maharaj is famous for his wonderful storytelling abilities. One question is sort of intriguing. It's kept in my mind that Lakshmi was attracted to Krishna, the beauty of Krishna, the sweetness of Krishna in that
yes.
beauty. And there's a saying from an old World War I, I think, song, how are you going to keep them down on the farm after they've seen Paris? So once you get a higher attraction, how did she resolve afterwards to go? Was it temporary? She was,
Some Vaishnava give the explanation that she's still doing tapasya there to get what she wants. So anything can happen in the future. Who knows? I mean, Krishna Lila is very deep, and we can't go in every single detail what's going to happen after. So still have a chance, who knows? Yes.
Maharaj, you said that we should first deserve, then desire.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that.
Prabhupada said that.
Okay.
But I also was under the impression or the understanding that everything starts with desire, everything... it all starts with desire. So, apparent contradiction.
Well, if we have to free our heart from material desires, then we can actually have pure spiritual desires. It's not like you want to artificially have some very high spiritual desire, but at the same time maintaining material desire to enjoy the material sense gratification. That's a contradiction. So we have to have some purity in our heart in order to develop such desires naturally. Like once a devotee told Prabhupada, I'm the most fallen. And Prabhupada told him, you are not the most nothing. You want to be the most something, you know. So we have to be careful when approaching very deep, profound, you know, aspect of our philosophy. And don't take it cheaply. It's something very, very high, very valuable. That's the point. Yes. Amala Bhakta Prabhu, yes.
You had made a point in reference to the question, can one aspire to be a Lakshmi? And of course, there's only one Lakshmi, as you
yes, you can be a servant of Lakshmi.
So the next point I was about to make is we read often in the scriptures that there are thousands of Lakshmis in the spiritual world. But we need to understand that, and what I wanted to clarify is that when we speak of there's only one original Lakshmi. Nonetheless, she has so many different qualities.
Yes.
It is those women who develop those qualities of Lakshmi who are referred to as Lakshmis, because in one sense there's no difference, but in another sense there is a difference.
Of course, of course. In Vaikuntha there is only Dasya Rasa. Everybody there is servant. Madhurya Rasa only... Lakshmiji has that rasa, generally speaking, you know. So if you want to have a become consort of the Lord, you have to go either to Dwarka or Mathura or Vrindavan. So we have to know, you know, these goals are there, and we have to have the desire one day to become qualified to be able to, you know, actually develop such attraction. I mean, Prabhupada said it's not possible to become detached from the material world unless we become more attached to Krishna. So we have to intensify our attachment to Krishna. And how we do that? By hearing, chanting, remembering about Krishna. By chanting offenselessly the holy name. By associating with advanced devotees who are developing their love and attraction to Krishna. That's the process. That's the way to do it. All right, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.